Who can get enough of that? Wow. Welcome to Crosspoint. Hey, friends. This is week 5 of an incredible series called Spark, igniting the 167 hours in our week. And listen, we've been on an amazing journey, and today is really no different. And as you probably know, we're going to be talking about creativity. So before we jump into that, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. So listen, God, we thank you so much for this day, for this time, for this space, to just have another chance and a moment to reflect on where we've been and remember where we want to go. And God, today, perhaps reboot some new rhythms today, and it's all in your name that we pray. Amen. And so again, listen, we're going after creativity. And my name is Mark. If we haven't had a chance to meet, I'm one of the pastors around here. And as we dive into this amazing idea of creativity, in fact, we're going to take it hostage, right? We're going to take creativity hostage this week because, you know, when I think about creativity, I mean, I get excited. But listen, this is what I know. I know that many of you already checked out because you're like, you know what? I'm not creative. I'm not artsy. I'm not really into that. I'm the type of person that kind of supports the creative person. I can do all of the things around the person who wants to be creative. But to be honest with you, Mark, I'm not creative. So, I mean, like, I wasn't blessed with those gifts. I didn't get that. I you know, maybe God didn't bless me with anything creative. And I'm glad. But before you check out, just stick with me for a minute. All right, because here's the thing. One of the things that you should know is that each and every one of us, we have creativity. In fact, it's in your DNA. Yeah, it's in your DNA. Like, you're born with it. And listen, let me tell you, the reason why I know that you're born with it, it's because I just birthed a little creative machine. I didn't birth her. But you know what I mean, right? Like, my wife birthed her, and she brought Noah into the world. And let me tell you, like, she's creative. And if you don't believe me, listen, all you got to do, put some Play-Doh in any kid's hand, any student's hand, and I promise you, you'll see the creativity come alive. Because it's there. It's in the DNA. They really have no other way to be but to be creative. Put a crayon in the hand. Give them some paper. Put some chalk in the middle of a driveway. Oh my gosh, you'll see some amazing things. Why? Because they are born with creativity. And guess what? So are you. But I have an hypothesis, all right? I have an hypothesis about maybe why you don't feel like you're creative. Or maybe why you feel like you don't really have that in you to be creative. And here's my hypothesis. My hypothesis is simply this, that I think that the older you get, the more impressed you become with being perfect than the process. Like, we start to fall in line with the boxes, and we start to create categories, and then we start to go after trying to fit things in these nice, neat boxes wrapped with the bow. And if we're not able to do that, we start backing away and we start moving away from the idea of what it means to be creative. And we start trying to move our lives closer to the picture of perfection that's in our minds. Or maybe the picture of perfection that we see in other people. And as a result, we kind of fall out of love with the process, the beauty of the struggle. Right? I mean, the beauty of the journey and just going through trial and error, right? Going through failing, going through falling and getting back up again, right? Going through the pain of not necessarily hitting the mark or not necessarily reaching the expectations of others. But that's a part of the process. That's a part of how we're made. And guess what? Here's what you should know about creativity. Creativity is allowing yourself to make mistakes. It's giving yourself the space and the opportunity to not be perfect. I mean, and that's actually such a liberating idea when you think about creativity from the standpoint of allowing yourself to make mistakes. And you see, I just believe that all of us are creative, but we stop being willing to take risks. We stop being willing to make mistakes because we kind of fell into this whole idea of wanting to make sure that we get things right, that we don't make mistakes, that we're able to reach that high achievement. But the beauty of your creative mind and your creative DNA is in the mistakes that you make. But then I have to be honest, right? Because the reality is you didn't just stop being creative overnight, right? I mean, we're born that way, right? We were all born with it. But how is it that we lost it? I mean, that's the question. When did you lose it? When did you lose the ability to be creative? When was the first time that you thought to yourself, I just can't do it. I'm throwing in the white towel. That's not me. I can't do the piano anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I can't do lacrosse. I can't sing on the choir. I'm done. And I don't want to think about having to learn how to be creative again. When did you lose it? I mean, because if we all have the capacity, but you're not tapping into it. It's there. So let me let you in on a little secret. Let me let you in on a little secret about creativity. You see, you were created by a creator, which means that you inherently have the same type of DNA as the creator, which means we're all creatives because you were created by a creator. In fact, it's in your DNA. And I said this before, but listen, this is what it says, even in scripture, in the first book of the Bible, it lays it out. In the first chapter of the Bible, it says this. It says that so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. I mean, one, two, three times in one verse, the word created is mentioned. But if you follow the thread, if you follow the path, you'll see that the Creator created us. And if we were created in the image of the Creator, in the likeness of the Creator, guess what? Yeah, you're a creator. It's not just those people who know how to code, and not just those people who know how to draw, not just those people who are amazing, like Jeff on the bass, right? Like that doesn't mean that you're not a creative. It means that maybe you've lost it. Maybe you've moved away. And let me tell you, this is super, super cool because you cannot not be a creative. But somewhere along the line, somewhere along your journey, somewhere in your life, something had to happen. And I don't know what that thing is. I don't know when that moment was, when you lost it, when you decided to give up on creativity. But somewhere along the line, we started building walls. We started building boxes. We started building all of these kind of spaces to protect us. And we stopped allowing ourselves to experience and allow experiences to teach us how to grow. And see, what happens is we start to evade this idea of failure. We want to maneuver around the pain of criticism. That many of us, we fear not being perfect. Or the depression that comes along with not being selected for the job or not getting into the college of your choice or not being selected by that young lady or by that young man for prom. But where was it for you when you started building up those walls? Building up those walls to maybe safeguard ourselves from the stress of struggle? From the reality of just disappointment? And listen, I get it. Listen, life is hard. I mean, life is hard. Life is hard to all of us. And I realize that sometimes we're building up these walls because we're trying to protect ourselves from the outside. But you know what? I learned something that was even more compelling. Because sometimes we're not building the walls to protect ourselves from the outside. But sometimes we're building those walls to protect and preserve whatever's left within. See, because people don't always build walls to keep others out. But there are times that it's done out of a necessity to protect whatever is left in. Why? Because maybe somebody robbed you of your creativity. Because you're born with it, but maybe there was a traumatic event that had a way of gripping their hands around your creativity ability, your creative DNA, and you decided to shut it down because maybe it was taken prematurely. Right? Maybe it was the circumstances of your upbringing that made you become an adult before it was time, before you were of age. Maybe someone abused you. Maybe they sexually abuse you or physically abuse you or mentally abuse you, and you all of a sudden lost the innocence of your childhood. So maybe you're now protecting yourself so that you can hold on to a little bit of creativity, a little bit of childhood, a little bit of imagination that you have left. Or maybe you had parents or peers who just never saw you as being somebody important. Maybe you had family or friends or parents that thought that you were worthless, or maybe it was just cousins that you didn't get or connect with, and you never really found your way to fit in. Or maybe it's just because you made mistakes. Maybe you made mistakes. Maybe you said the wrong thing, or maybe you did the wrong thing around a certain group of people. And you just never know. But what happened? Why did you lose it? And maybe you didn't meet the expectations. Maybe you had a sibling, right? All of us. Maybe you had a sibling who always did things right. And you've been trying to live up to that level, and your parents were like, yeah, you did it, but you didn't do it like your sister or your brother did. So because of that, you shut down and you dimmed your light and your ability and your capacity to create. And listen, I don't know where you are on the spectrum. I don't know why you've decided to build up those walls or what took place in your life, right? But the reality is life happens, and life is hard, and it can be difficult for us sometimes. But whatever it is, it stopped you on your creative journey. And I get why. Because sometimes we just make mistakes, and we don't like what comes along with it. But here's what I love about mistakes. That we think our mistakes and our mishaps and our imperfections, we think that that's what defines us. But here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to hear today. That mistakes, they don't define you. They design you. That your mistakes, they have a way of shaping you. Right? Like, your mistakes are really God's tool of creativity to really carve and shape and mold you into the person that God has created each of us to be. That it's a way for God to use the things that we think are mistakes and are shameful, things that we want to hide under a rug, and things that we just never want to come to light. God is using those moments, those mistakes, that trauma, so that he can shape you. It's a design tool, not just defining moments. And listen, I know it's not always easy. It's not easy. Life is not easy. But the reality is, it's not always easy, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it when we're able to really dig in and say, you know what? These are the mistakes, but God wants to use them to design you. That's right. We're the handiwork of God. In fact, you know, this is why it's so cool. It's so cool because even around here at Crosspoint, I mean, we say this all the time, that we're here, we exist for people who don't have it all together. That if that's you, that you don't have it all together and you're watching online, or even if you're sitting here in a venue, you don't have it all together, this is the place that was designed in you. I mean, because we believe that. In fact, we built the church. This church started based on the Acts 2 model, where it says that the community of believers, this church offered unbelievers a vision of life that was so beautiful, it took their breath away. I mean, it was so bold, so creative, so dynamic that they couldn't resist it. And the Lord added the number daily, those that were being saved. Those that were being saved. I mean, that's a mission. That's a core value. That's what this place is built on. It's built on not having it all together. Why? Because we understand that those mistakes, they don't define you. They only simply design you. You are designer made. And you have a high price tag on your life. And why have we not been tapping in? See, because that's what God wants to do. God wants to shape us. God wants to mold us. In fact, there's a really cool story about this, and it'll explain some things. And one of the things it'll explain is why we have this amazing artist to my left, Jess Evans. Let's give her a hand. Hasn't she been doing well? Wow. Right? I mean, it's an amazing story that actually connects this, right? And it's in the book of Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. It's about this prophet. And really what happens is God is trying to get him a message. He's trying to tell, he's trying to explain to Jeremiah kind of how he operates with his people. And it's a really cool story because he tells Jeremiah to go to a potter's house. So here it is. Welcome to the venue, the formerly known as the venue. We're now in the potter's house, okay? This is Cross Point Potter's House, and we have our own in-house potter. But here's the thing. He tells Jeremiah, look, go to the potter's house, and when you go there, you're going to see something. You're going to see a potter there, and then I'm going to have a message for you. And it says this. It says, whenever the potter was working on, that's not what it says. It actually says, starts here. It says, God told Jeremiah, up on your feet, go to the potter's house, and when you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say. And so he goes to the potter house. And when he goes to the potter house, he's working. The potter is there, and the potter was working at the wheel, like working at the wheel. I mean, diligently. We get a chance to have a window seat as to what Jeremiah was seeing when he walked in. And so as you see the potter carefully throwing, carefully and meticulously shaping and molding, this is what Jeremiah sees. And then it says, whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, when it started to get out of whack, when it started to look like not what they imagined it to be, it says that the potter would simply start over and use the same clay. That the potter would use the same clay. And then this is when God's message came to Jeremiah. And God says this. He says, can I do just as this potter does, people of Israel? That watch this potter. And in the same way that this potter works her clay, it's the same way that God works on us. It's the same way. And this is so, so good because it reminds us that God doesn't get rid of us when we make mistakes, that God doesn't throw us away, but God finds use for whatever mistake that we've made, and he uses that to design us, to craft us, to make us into the image that God sees for us to be. And I mean, after all, we are the handiwork of God, and so it's the coolest thing about the rhythm of creativity is that it doesn't disappear, that it's still in you, that the design is still in the midst of the same clay. It's in the midst of your same DNA that creativity, God still wants to use it. Just because you haven't used it, you haven't tapped into it, does not mean for one minute that it's no longer there. It's always there. You're just not using it. You are a creative. You have creativity. You just haven't used it, and it's at your fingertips. It's right there at your fingertips. And that's actually where we left off last week. And if you haven't had a chance to check out last week's message, it's available online as well as on the app. You can check it out. We were talking about work. And we were talking about how to get after it. And let's get off of the couch. Because if we're honest, like we've had about 16, 17 months of just kind of maybe on hold, right? Maybe in a pause season. And the reality is, I mean, it's time for us to maybe get back into some rhythms and get back into the things that help to make us productive. And so, like, we've all had a 16-month disruption. And let me be honest, that in that disruption, we were all being shaped. We were all being molded. And here's the thing, being shaped and being molded, it's not easy. Because it means that you're going to be stretched, that you're going to be pushed into doing things that make you uncomfortable. Wearing a mask, it was uncomfortable, but it was necessary to shape us for a season, to mold us for a season so that we could get to a place. And my friends, those are the things that molding and shaping does, that it's a tension, it's rough, it stretches you. But maybe now is the time that you embrace the stretch, that you embrace the strain, that you embrace the struggle and the careful construction of how God wants to continue to shape and mold your life. See, because just as Jess is shaping and molding this clay, it's the same way that God is shaping and molding you. And here's the thing. If God is a shaper, just like God is a creator, you too are a shaper. That you too have the ability to help to shape, to help to mold, to help to craft, to help to carve. In fact, I read a book a couple years back. It's a really good book. If you have a chance to check it out, it's written by a guy named Adam Grant. It's called The Originals. And one of the things that he talks about in his book is this idea of being a shaper. And he says this, that shapers are independent thinkers. They're curious, they're nonconforming and rebellious. And I was like, wow, that's Jesus. That's exactly who Jesus is. Like, Jesus was a shaper. Jesus was showing us how to shape. And I know you're like, what? Jesus was rebellious, nonconforming. Yes, he was, to the system that he came into. That he saw that it was a moment for Jesus to be create a new way of life, to spark a new movement, to create a rhythm that would enable all of us to be creative again. Why? Because he saw that the old way, the old covenant, the old way of doing things created religion. And religion is one of those things that kind of creates a law. But see, no, Jesus was a creative. Jesus was, he was a nonconformist. They wanted him to conform to this and to conform to that and to conform to all of the things in the temple. And he's like, no. My God is a creator. We need to get outside of the box, get outside of the four walls. And maybe that's a message for you. It's time for you to get out of the box. That I don't understand how you can be a follower of Jesus and think that your life is supposed to be in a nice, neat box with a ribbon on top. And that's not what God called us to. No. He actually called us to get into the mess. Get into the shaping. Get into the molding. He's called us to it. I mean, and that's why we do what we do around here. Right? I mean, that's why we hit golf balls off the stage. That's why we blow confetti all over the place. I mean, that's why we have a cool host like Eric who makes us laugh, right, each and every week. Why? Because it's about being creative. This is why we have amazing kids and student environments each and every week. I heard a story last week about kids. It was like on a Tuesday. We don't even have service on a Tuesday, but they were driving up Olio. They saw the Crosspoint sign, and they immediately got excited like, yes, we're going to Crosspoint. Why? Because that's where they are experiencing a creative environment. It's a creative environment where kids get an opportunity to be creative. And guess what? Maybe that's an opportunity for you to jump in. Maybe you want to be a shaper in that environment. Give you an opportunity to maybe jump into that environment and create more opportunities. In fact, we're actually targeting September to be able to open up more kids' environments, particularly for Thursday night and even maybe on Sunday. We want to continue to grow those environments, but we need people who want to be shapers, and help to mold and help to create. And here's the thing. When you get around kids with Play-Doh who are creative, who are laughing, guess what happens? It rubs off. It rubs off. It rubs off on you. The energy, it becomes electric. So maybe that's it. And that's the next step. I'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe you want to jump in and take advantage of this moment. See, because this is simply a reminder. Right? I mean, this is something that you have. It's in you. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Right? I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But here's the thing. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't know how to tap into it. And so this is a reminder for some, and this may be new information for others. But here's the thing. I want you to consider getting after it. Maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the week that you start saying, you know what? I've been a little docile. I've been sitting, you know, too long. I've allowed things to kind of be what they are, and now it's time for me to step up. Now it's time for me to do something different. Maybe I need to get back in to my creative bag. And so, to that end, I want to spend the next couple of minutes kind of giving you some next steps, so that you can kind of begin to jumpstart your creative journey, so that you can begin to jumpstart your shaping moment and you going out and being able to mold a life that God has enabled us to have. And so here's the thing. The first next step is what's the dream? What's the desire? What's the thought that God has placed on your heart that you have pushed pause on? That you've decided, you know what, I don't have time to go back to school. I'm not ready to do the business. Or, you know, I put pause on trying to, you know, become a better parent. Or I've hit pause on my dating life, right? Like, you know, and I know, God, that you wanted me to be this and that, and you just hit pause on it. And maybe that's you. I don't know what that thing is. Maybe it's writing the book. Maybe it's going to get that advanced degree. Maybe it's actually just sitting down and having a conversation with your supervisor about getting that promotion. Right? Maybe it's about you sitting down now with your teenage kids and really getting to know them and getting to understand that they're young adults, that they're growing and there's still boundaries, but how do you become a better coach to them? Maybe you press pause on it because you'd rather bury yourself in work instead of into your family, into your marriage, into your spouse. Maybe you hit pause on it. So I want you to think about that this week. I want you to identify what you press pause on. Second thing I want you to do. As I want you to figure out, okay, so now that I know what I press pause on, what are the things that I need to do to press play? Right? I mean, we all know what it means to press pause, but what does it mean for us to press play? And, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, maybe, you know, sit down and maybe you got to jot some things down, plan, right? Maybe you need to call back up to school. Maybe you need to set up a meeting, whatever it is, right? Maybe it's pressing play on whatever you need to do for whatever you press pause on. And then here's another next step that I think is really cool, and I just mentioned it not too long ago, but maybe it's pressing play to volunteer in our kids' environments. Listen, this is a creative space. This is where creatives are made, and this is where creatives are being nurtured. And listen, you really want to be in a space that you can be around creatives. Listen, maybe that's your next step. Maybe your next step is that you consider to go ahead and press play. Listen, we got September is right around the corner, and we'd love to be able to open up more creative spaces, more creative environments to continue to foster that amazing journey. See, because listen, I just believe that God is still shaping us. And if God is still shaping us, then why have we stopped shaping ourselves? Why have we stopped believing that we can be creative? And you know, here's the thing. God hasn't given up on us. So why have we given up on ourselves? And, you know, whatever it is, maybe this week, again, maybe it's starting that business, going back to school. Maybe it's, you know, going to that boss, getting that promotion, writing that book. Maybe it's finishing your dating profile on Tinder, right? Maybe you need to go ahead and set that up for the singles to get back in the game. Listen, I heard this. I got this article this week. Seriously, I got this article this week, and it was on NPR. And believe it or not, you know, they said that the Google search for dating has reached a five-year high. So if that's you and you need to go ahead and finish that profile, you might want to hurry up because that it seems like it's getting a little busy in traffic in there. So, but whatever it is, don't stop creating. Whatever it is, don't stop going after it. Whatever it is, break outside of your box and begin to see how God wants you to be creative. Cool. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand because we're going to sing here in a bit. We're going to sing this song, and this song is called Freedom, and it's talking about things like stepping out into the wild, stepping out of the shadows, and kind of running into wide open spaces, and that's what I want you to get after this week. Step out. Step out into the wild. Don't worry about what's going on. Run into wide open spaces. Be creative. Be free again. Because that's how God created us. That's what Jesus died for. He died so that all of us could have an opportunity to be creative. Hey, and that's why this is probably the best place that you could be in the venue or even if you're watching online. That's why our motto is, we got dim lights and easy exits if you change your mind. Why? Because this is a place where you don't have to have it all together. And if this is your first time with us, we certainly hope that it's not your last time. And we hope that you get after this week and that you continue to be creative. And listen, this week, let's get after it. Let's be creative, and I hope to see you next week.